Live from KFNX News Talk Radio 1100, it's Chatterbox, where you'll find the latest news, interviews, and updates about the gaming world. The views and opinions expressed are those of the host, the guests, and callers only, and not necessarily those of KFNX News Talk Radio 1100. And now here's your hosts for Chatterbox.
Welcome to another fine episode of the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name is Alon.
And my name's the newly incensed Aura.
And my name is Rich.
No subtitle for you, Rich?
Yeah, absolutely not.
My subtitle overrules all others.
Good for you, Aura. You want a cookie?
All right, so last week...
I don't want a cookie. I am pissed, though.
Oh,
yes.
Are you?
Yes, if you didn't get that from
my title. I thought you were incensed.
I'm pissed and
explain.
Incensed.
Okay.
That's like both at the same time.
Well, luckily, since I'll have my eyes closed this whole episode, I won't have to look at you be incensed.
Okay. Well, I don't know if you guys have been reading what's been up on the news in the past week or so, but apparently there's been like this rash, and by rash, I mean like a festering, bloody rash.
Does it itch?
Op-ed pieces. It probably itches a lot. It's itching me a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Of op-ed pieces where there are these women who are you listen and then if you want to be coy, to be coy.
Well then hurry up.
this is called dramaticism, my friend.
Okay. You're doing good.
And also using up more minutes because I have less to say.
But we always run out of time.
Listen, don't you worry your little head about that. Okay.
That's a fine point, sir.
Never mind that. All right. There's been a couple pieces in there's a Times Online article and there's this Dallas Morning News op-ed piece, and they're interestingly enough pretty much saying the same thing, which is men now are apparently childlike man boys even in their adult lives because they play too much video games and because they fail to commit to relationships. So you have these sexist, feminist articles that are being written by these women who are angry, apparently, because
their boyfriends play too many video games?
Probably because their boyfriends play too many video games and because their boyfriends also, like, won't marry them or something.
This is why you need to find a girlfriend who plays video games. I know it's a competitive field.
Right.
I know that there's very few to pick from.
No, but it's, I mean, like, you know what? I mean, if you want to write an opinion piece, like, fine, write whatever, right? But, like, both of these, you know, you can go and you can search Dallas Morning News. There's an article called The Child Man and Times Online article by this woman called Kate Muir, right? And they're just, it's, I don't know, it's kind of like, it's too easy. Let me read you a few quotes, perhaps.
Please do, because you're kind of losing me.
All right. So, Kate Muir, which I don't even know how to pronounce this last
name. Probably Muir.
Right. She goes, who knew that the generation who first became addicted to Pac-Man and Super Mario were turned out to be boys who never grew up? How do you feel about that, Rich? How does that make you feel?
I don't know. I wasn't that person, technically.
That he's still a boy. How do you feel about that, Alon?
Well, you know, I find it interesting because a friend told me many years ago, something that I guess is supposed to be true, that people who smoke pot, like, you know, start in their teens or whatever.
Right.
It actually stunts their emotional growth.
Right.
Whether this is a result of the people they surround themselves with when that happens, or if it's a chemical effect.
Do you have to start?
Let's say you start regardless, right? Because people
What if you started college?
I don't know.
Like around like freshman year.
So there's a lot of emotional
second
growth.
Second semester.
Especially up to like your mid-20s. And if you start before then, it stunts your emotional growth. And so you might find that, like, you have a 28-year-old friend who's been smoking pot for 10 years,
right,
and he's, like, a high schooler. It's like, well, that's not too surprising.
Well, I mean, obviously, if you're going to be doing a drug like that, particularly at a very young age, I mean, it's going to be stunting a lot of things besides emotional growth.
But here's the thing. People say that games are also addictive. And now you're basically saying that games stunt emotional growth. So maybe it's not so much a chemical effect of the addiction or whatever it is you spend a lot of your time doing. I don't know if you want to call gaming an addiction just yet, at least not for the masses, maybe a few people. But maybe there's a parallel there. And maybe it's just because you focus so much of your time and energy on one thing,
right,
that you release yourself from learning about others.
Well, obviously, I mean, that's the case, right? I mean, that happens. But it happens in all kinds of other areas, right? And I think that maybe, you know, maybe there's like a small kernel of truth in what they're saying in these articles, but they're just going totally nuts and crazy with it. You know, the connection here, right, that's offensive is that, well, okay, just because we play video games, that's necessarily a childish and immature activity.
When is that really, what they were implying?
I think that that's the implication.
Well, I don't have the article in front of me, and I don't know where that.
Here's another.
I need to poke something here.
Okay, poke something.
Apparently in the IRC chat room, What Up G pointed out that, I'm assuming he's correct in this, that the article is referencing to the guy that's in the King of Kong or something. The guy that has the record and then he didn't. I don't know. I haven't seen
What's
the
that?
Film. The guy was like had the record for Donkey Kong.
Wrong article.
It's not.
Sorry.
Okay.
I'm just
making sure here.
Right.
So we have our information straight.
Okay. It's incorrect information.
Okay.
All
I'll
right.
tell him.
Here's some correct information.
Ara, the king of correct information.
Yes.
So here's another nice quote. This is good. This is even off topic, but it's good. Because there's nothing to complain of about in this man teen era. Unless you're a woman with a ticking biological clock waiting for someone, anyone, to grow up.
Trust me, you can get a lot of gamers to jump on that train and give you a baby.
Yeah. See, the thing is, like, yeah, there's a population, you know what, there is a population of guys, right, who are like, oh, they read Maxim, and they go around and they're like, you know, they fart around all the time with, you know, their guy roommates, and they make, like, poo jokes. And they do all these, like, stupid, immature things.
Those are the same men who build climbing walls in their homes,
and
by the way.
Actually, I don't think it's – I think that those – that I don't think it's the same men. But you know what? I mean, yeah, there's also a contingent of, you know, females that, you know, they're in – you know, they're around the same age, and they don't do anything productive with their lives, and their interests aren't, like, anything beyond, like, I don't know, like, People magazine – and
should,
like
should,
shopping.
Dude,
should
you write that a, magazine's awesome.
Yeah. Should you write a competing piece about how women get into their mid-30s and all they do is start thinking about babies and they're just these childish women who want babies?
Well, that's a nice response right there, right? There's a couple funny responses when I was reading these articles on the internet. One guy commented, "Video games don't cheat on you."
That's so, a fine point,
very,
although
very
they do
well
in
taken.
Fact cheat on you quite often.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, so it's like the implication here is that, you know, somehow whatever women are doing, that's not, like, it's mature and refined automatically, and it's like, what? No, this doesn't come together. You know, this doesn't make sense to me.
Well, it's funny that you bring all this up, because I don't know if you saw the other article. Not that I'm reading the original article, but of course on Joystick, where I get all my news, as our listeners have pointed out.
It's a rash. It's almost like a virus, even.
According to this headline, science says men's brains get more reward from gaming. So apparently there's other studies that maybe I'll look at during
you know
the break.
What? It's funny that you mentioned that, because that study is on my list.
Yeah, so it feeds into that. Basically, men apparently are more encouraged to play games, whether or not they know it, right?
Right. Well, here's the cool thing about that study, right? They did this experiment, right, where they took, like, the same amount of men and women, and they made them play this game, this totally made-up game, right? It's not like a Nintendo game or whatever.
A relatively simple game that involved basically success or not success.
It's a made-up game that doesn't exist?
No, it's not a made-up game. It's
no,
just a simple
it's not...
game. It's not a commercial game that you probably would
okay,
prefer.
They,
thank you.
They made the game for the test?
Yes, exactly. Okay. Precisely. Okay. So all they told the people were, okay, there's going to be balls on your screen, okay?
Love it.
Click on the balls, okay? Look, they're balls, okay? It's okay. one of the most basic shapes known to man. I don't know what's so funny about
it. Well, on the
this.
Screen, there's circles.
Here.
Balls.
All right, you know what? I'll get into that apparently hilarious
I'm wondering
exhibition
if there's anything
when
we could do
back.
Or say that would make our sound engineer actually crack a smile, because I have yet to see it.
Well, that...
There it is. There it is. All right, we're going to break. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Arizona's News Talk Leader, KFNX News Talk Radio, 1100.
Hey,
Welcome back to another action-packed episode of Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Oh yeah, my name's Ara, by the way.
I'm Alon. Is this action-packed?
This
yes!
is action-packed.
Action!
My name is Rich, with no subtitle or long intro.
So before we get back to the action, I'm going to remind everyone about UAT.edu, the website for the University of Advancing Technology. Rich.
Alon.
Have you been back to UAT at all?
I haven't.
I went there to print something yesterday.
Cool.
Still fantastic.
You went there just to print something?
Yeah,
don't you work at like GoDaddy and they have printers there?
I don't print stuff at work.
Okay.
Hey, how old are you, Rich?
21.
Smoke pot?
No.
All right, just checking.
All right.
All right.
Moving right along.
Yeah. Oh. So
we're talking about this men and their brains and
yes,
how they play games.
But
and
I have to interject now that I just found out.
That Rich is 21?
No, apparently that I mentioned in the commentary of King of Kong.
Yeah, somebody brought that to our attention. Unfortunately, you didn't even know what the King of Kong was.
So, well, now I know, right?
See, well, sort of.
You learn something every day. It doesn't matter what it is. What's important is that I was mentioned.
That is.
That's very important.
It's like me in the Kevin Smith video that everyone
talks
about.
Where you're just like, hey, it's Alon in the asking question.
Okay, yeah. Anyway, getting back to our previous topic, I was explaining to you guys this really cool experiment this study did where they found out that, okay, well, you know, guys are naturally way more competitive than girls.
Let's
right?
point out from the beginning that it's only 11 men and women. Each,
okay.
11 men
that's,
and 11
that's
women.
That's fine.
Not a very large sampling.
Sometimes you don't need a large sample.
I guess not.
So here's what they did, right? There's a special game where you click on these balls, apparently, which is completely hilarious to you guys. And all they told the guy, all they told the subjects was that just click on the balls, right? And apparently there was another level to the game, right? Which was that, you know, there was a bar in the middle of the screen, and if you, you know, clicked on the ball, like, before it got to the bar, then the bar would move over to the right, and that would indicate that you're, you know, increasing your territory. And if you, you know, had to, if you waited until the ball, like, you know, hit the wall and bounced back to click it, then the bar would actually recede, you know, closer to you, indicating that you were losing territory, right? So the people conducting the experiment didn't tell the subjects anything about this, right? And here's what they found out, that the girls pretty much clicked on the balls just as much as the guys did, right? So everybody likes balls equally.
Mm-hmm.
However,
we love the balls.
However,
this never gets old, by the way.
It turns out that something that the guys started doing that the girls almost never did was that they noticed that there was this extra layer to the game where they could improve their performance by deciding to click on the balls that were, you know, more of a threat to their score, as it were, than the other ones, right? And that's how they played. So the guys' playing habits were basically, you know, indicated that they were much, much more motivated to win the game and to get, you know, whatever metric of a score was represented in the game than the women. Even though the women, like, they were also motivated, just not as much.
Okay. Do you think that's maybe just because women aren't observant and, you know, suck at life?
Wow, that's
and so couldn't figure it out.
That's a very, very long discussion.
Well, I'm just wondering if that's what you think. I don't think that. I'm just saying.
Right.
Maybe.
No. It's funny, but no.
Okay.
I want to ask, maybe it's, like, are all these people that haven't played video games to any extent before, or is it more of a...
I don't know. That's a good question.
I don't know
See,
exactly
that probably
what that game
well.
Is like.
We're just going to assume that everything about the experiment was perfect and not call anything about it
into
question.
Because, I mean, if the person doesn't play video games, then they probably don't care.
Speaking
of caring... I'm supposed to click on balls, okay.
I wonder what our listeners think about this. Maybe you're a female, maybe you're a male. If you fall into one of those two categories, give us a call, 866-536-1100.
That, and I just need to add, if it's going to be a scientific study, you need to have a large sample.
Not necessarily.
Yeah,
all
you
right.
Do.
So
as
anyway,
long as you get statistically significant
results. No, you need
results.
a large sample.
What we didn't express...
Especially with people.
What we didn't really discuss here were the conclusions that they supposedly came up to. I mean, you kind of mentioned it.
Right.
Basically, they're saying that we're...
Well,
men are hardwired.
Men are really competitive, right?
Yeah. I mean, that's something I would guess, minus any sort of scientific study.
Men are
right.
more
Which, I
competitive
mean,
and aggressive
We know this
women.
Intuitively,
it's,
don't we?
Yeah.
But the conclusion that they're coming to here is that men are more drawn to video games because they
like to basically click on balls more.
They get more mentally or emotionally from a reward system that's built into a game. So the article that I was reading, which is not the actual article, it's just a coverage of it.
That's a good point. That's more precise than what I was saying.
Exactly. They claim to have discovered that men receive more emotionally from any reward that's given to them in a game. So, you know, if you're going to see someone who's addicted to a game, it's probably through the reward system. It's probably going to be a man. Maybe the reason we've only seen men involved in gaming addiction is because there's more men, but it might also be because something related to this.
Yeah. Well, there aren't more men.
I think it's more than that. Well, he doesn't mean like in the world.
Yeah.
There are more men playing games.
Yes.
Context.
Okay. Yeah. playing games that we pay attention to. Yeah. There's actually more women playing games if you take into account all games.
Yeah, when you look
if you take into account
like solitaire on a computer game. Yeah.
Yeah.
Or like Yahoo Pool and things.
Hearts.
Anyways, continue.
See, I don't understand how chicks like those games.
Those
are just mind-numbingly dumb that there's no...
Let's just continue to indulge ourselves
in stereotypes. Maybe that's why they like those games and guys typically don't. Because, like, what reward system is there in solitaire and hearts?
Well, you know what? You know
like
what's interesting, actually?
Are you kidding?
You know what's interesting? Is that, you know, this girl I used to date, right? You know, she wouldn't play any game that really, like, required too much mental exertion. Although she ostensibly loved video games, right?
Mm-hmm.
But anything that like asks more, brain processing power than like say
clicking
solitaire or like Bejeweled, it was like not going to happen. So
yeah.
I think that there's a lot of that, and I'm not saying that like women aren't smart or anything. Don't get me wrong, right? But there's just like in terms of like, well, you know, if you want to play a video game for fun, one thing that I've noticed is that I don't know, in my experience, a lot of women don't really have the desire to have their brain challenged or have their brain, like, you know, mentally taxed while they're, you know, playing something that's enjoyable. It's that kind of thing seems to be more enjoyable for guys, right? When something's like a challenge to your brain, right? For a lot of girls, you know, maybe it's socialization, I don't know, right? They don't really seem to be very interested in surmounting that challenge. Maybe that comes back to what we were just talking about with, like, you know, maybe for guys, right, it's like beating that challenge or surmounting that challenge is like, you know, you get so much of a reward for it that it becomes worth it for another person where the reward value of that might be low.
Yep.
Right. Maybe they're just not motivated to do it at all.
Well, what are some examples of competitive situations that you would commonly see a woman in, right? Whether it be video games or real life or whatever.
Right?
I mean, there's sports. Women are competitive in sports.
They are. Sure.
Right.
Is The View competitive?
I don't know.
I don't think it's competitive.
One thing that comes to my mind, and I'm not really trying to be facetious.
Actually, it might be more competitive than most other talk shows.
So I'm not trying to be terribly facetious here, but it is kind of funny. Women are very, very competitive in like just the social field when dating and when, you know, two women want the same man, right? And then the whole catfight thing and whatever.
Right.
So,
I think that there's other dynamics at work there as well.
Certainly. But I'm trying to think of an example of when we can think women are actually just by nature competitive, not because of, you know, their city. They have city pride and they want to love their basketball
team.
What
are we talking about?
Right.
The differences between guys and girls right now?
Yes, that's precisely. It is.
Yeah, but it relates to this.
Yeah, we're like on a huge...
I don't care.
No.
What's the motivation of people?
This is important stuff.
No, you know what's really interesting, actually, about this whole thing is that, like, it's... I mean, think about it this way, right? It's like every single thing you do in your life, it's like it has like a reward value attached to it, right? And depending...
Typically.
And depending on... Right, that can vary from person to person, right? So, like, you know, people who are really fat, you know what? Like, most of them, the reward value for food is, like, way up there, you know?
Yeah.
People who never eat, right? Reward value of food, not so high.
Well, I think they're being fat or thin is a result of that reward already being in place.
Right, that's what I'm saying.
Right, like, I don't get that much. Yeah. I don't love food that much.
So, there you go. So, you know, you're pretty thin.
Yeah, so... Yeah. My next question, if Rich hadn't interrupted me, is basically, what games do we see women playing? And so I can think of a lot of girls being attracted to Dance Dance Revolution.
No More Heroes?
I haven't seen a lot of No More Heroes people playing, girls or boys. But also, WoW. I mean, World of Warcraft, plenty of women play that.
Right.
But, I mean, that's a very social game.
Yeah,
and
social.
DDR is a very social game, too, when you go out in the arcade and play with your friends and whatever. And I never see them being competitive over a score. I never see two girls on the machine saying, oh, I'm going to beat you.
Yeah.
They just want to play together. and this has been done before.
Jump kick people when they're not looking.
It's
almost happened
to
me once.
I mean, we've all talked about how women like the social dynamics of gaming. But is this an example of that in play? They don't really play games unless they're going to be with their friends.
It's possible.
All right. We'll talk about it more.
It's me, Mario. You're listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. It's a number one. Woo-hoo!
Once again, we're back. This is the Chatterbox Video Game Radio Show. My name's Alon.
And my name's the now thoroughly
and my name's
relaxed
Rich.
Aura. Thank you, Rich.
Yep.
For
interrupting Cal.
For speaking over me.
All right, so I want to remind everyone, we've got a phone number, 866-536-1100, if you'd like to call. We have a caller on the line, Jonathan.
Oh, the temerity.
Jonathan,
oh,
from Washington,
I'm looking at you.
D.C.
Oh. Hello.
Hey there, you are on the air.
What's up? It's Pen 15.
Right on. That's a different name than you normally use.
Hey, what's up,
from a
Jonathan?
See, he's using a different name to trick us into taking the phone call.
Wow.
You guys told me to use a different name last week.
Yeah, but now you ruined it because like you said who you were now.
Exactly.
Darn.
Man, sometimes you just don't get it.
I don't. I'm slow.
All right. So, what can we do for you, sir?
Are you offended by our sexist...
No.
Yes, especially you, Aura. I'm ashamed.
He thought that you were making fun of him earlier.
Well, you'll get over it.
No, what I wanted to say is women compete socially.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Don't compete video game-wise. And my guess is maybe because they spend all day competing socially, they have no reason to go home and find more competition.
Find more competition through...
You mean through the video game?
Through a video game.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sure. Also, actually, one other thing that I noticed, and I might have mentioned this once many months ago, but, you know, me and Alon, one time, we were out at some bar, and we were talking to some girls or whatever, and...
We do that from time to time.
And, you know, and we're like...
Ladies.
And, you know, we tell them what we do, right, which is this show, and, you know, I ask them, like, hey, do you guys play games, right? And then, you know, like, the look, first of all, like, oh, we would never do that. Oh, that's, you know, and it's like, there's a stigma there, right? But we kept on talking to them, and, you know, we got out of them, like, yeah, you know what, like, they played, you know, they had a Game Boy, which they played incessantly, you know, they played, like, Super Mario Brothers or whatever, like, they played all these games, right? But before that, there's, like, all this, like, baggage, like, the social stigma, like, if you even admit that you like it, at least for a lot of girls, it's like... You know, that's not cool, you know.
I was kind of wishing you hadn't asked that question. Well,
I thought that was totally sweet.
I mean, it worked out fine. Whatever.
Of course it did.
Yeah, good one.
All right, so basically, Penn, you're saying what I was saying, plus some extra stuff that I disagree with.
Well, I mean, if I can add in here, you say, like, women are competitive socially or whatnot, but is that... That's like inferring that games can't be social at all. Because, I mean, video games can still be social, and it's more competitive typically you're playing against people in a social environment.
No. But if the only interaction is, like, game mechanics, and if there is an actual real social interaction, then it's no good.
Well, it's like you're playing GoldenEye on your N64 with your three other friends, and you have to, like, kick your friend and unplug their controller to win. That's very social interaction, and that's very competitive.
That's not really social interaction.
That's extremely social.
I'm with the Pen tonight.
That's what teenage kids do.
Well, you and Pen apparently don't know the definition of the
word. When they want social interaction, what they mean is, for example, you know, a girl gets a haircut, and everybody pays attention to her, and all of a sudden, everybody has a haircut the next week because they're trying to compete socially.
Yeah,
in an MMO, you can do stuff like that. You can get sort of trinkets and costumes that make other people jealous, so you can have that social sort of competition. But in most games, like, shooting a dude isn't that enticing.
I think it's social. Shooting people's...
No, that's physical interaction.
It's
that's not social interaction.
Kind of social.
I've got the talking stick, boys.
Go!
Second Life does appeal
Oh, that is
to
not a
wide,
video game. Stop
a wide
talking.
Demographic.
Right, but don't you have to be like a computer science major in order to use it?
Second Life doesn't have a wide demographic, but continue.
Well, I want to say sexually. I don't know if that's the right word.
Yeah, for furries.
And lonely dudes.
And that's a very small market, really.
For furries who have computer science degrees.
Mm-hmm.
Which is actually probably 80% of them.
But it's... That's a bad... If you want to say something, I won't stop you
well,
now.
Well, listen.
The other 20% of engineering degrees.
He said women don't want to go home and play games because they've been too busy or too consumed with competing socially during the day. And I don't think that's the case because men are busy competing every second of their lives. And it's not that they get, you know, sick of it when they get home. I just think women don't have an appeal to play a game that has no real-world result, right? If you play Pac-Man or any single-player video game,
actually, yeah.
You play through it. No matter what reward you get from the story or from the gameplay, there's absolutely no impact in the real world. And that's the sort of feeling that I'm getting as I get older. It's like, well, why am I playing this when I could be out, like, developing a business and making money or going to the bar and getting some Tang? Like, why would I want to be playing this game?
Or maybe a chocolate milk instead of an orange drink.
Or maybe, yeah. So, I mean, perhaps they look at motivation beyond the scope of the immediate. And if they don't, like this other article was saying, meaning the chemical part in their brain doesn't actually get reward from playing the game, then I can understand that.
Yeah, right? Or from competing in that way. But maybe one thing that the study didn't do that maybe another study should do is to kind of like examine what the different ways of competing are. Because obviously social competition is very, very different from, you know, game competition.
Well, I don't really see men competing that much aside from trying to gain a higher level in the workplace, because whenever you see things that could be considered competition, like a guy buys a shinier, newer car, that's really more for women, and that's not really a competition. That's just gaining attention.
No, that's a competition among men to get women. But you ever see men at a bar playing with a little paper football? You ever see them doing shots to try and outdo each other? You see them play poker or do anything and get emotional about absolutely everything they do that involves other men and the ability to beat the other one at something?
Well, I mean, maybe it's just because when you're younger, because it says, 18 to 30 are the main game purchasers, maybe through that age, you're not really thinking of competing in the workplace. You are thinking of competing in general, but you're not thinking of competing in the workplace. And those that do compete in the workplace usually are way too busy to be playing a ton of games.
Not me.
That's because your job involves playing games.
Oh, yeah, I
know. You already made your goal, which is game designer. You're at the Holy Grail.
Well.
Wow. Well, I'm flattered, actually.
You can always find a better job.
Yes.
Well, I mean, the next step would be independent game developer, but that's...
Yes!
It's going to take a while.
Independence!
He has his fist raised.
One day!
With incensed rage. All right, so before we let you go, anything else you want? We hang up on you all the time. You whine that we don't let you say everything you wanted to say. What else? What else you got?
Just that women have smaller brains.
Oh!
Well put. Well said. All
okay,
right. And on that note, we will hang
up. All right, so if any females want to call, if they have anything to say about that remark, if you have any opinions at all,
if they haven't turned the channel already,
then you should call.
There's channels.
866-536-1100.
Yes, we're on the radio, Rich.
But they're not really channels. You don't call them like channels.
Yes, you do.
It's fine.
I mean, they're frequencies. I mean,
wow.
What are you, like the guardian of semantics here?
Well, I'm just saying. I've never heard somebody call a radio station a channel.
I have.
All right, let's not get
what
into
you, like,
these
how
useless
old are you?
Discussions.
All right. Yeah. Let's...
I've got something really sweet for everybody here.
Do we want to talk more about the games on easy thing? Because we got another email about it.
Maybe, but I've got a quick 2-minute thing. Maybe,
okay. Do
maybe...
it.
See, there we go. Right on time.
Do it.
All right. Check this out. Okay. MSNBC. There's this news story, right? It is titled "Videophilia is Killing Outdoors Life." Okay. What are they talking about?
Kids playing games instead of going outside.
Yes. The Nature Conservancy is complaining that there are less people out in nature, and does this not make sense to you guys? I mean,
is that a bad thing?
That's a great thing. You know, when I go hiking, I go on trips, less people, all the better. You know, less people treading my path before and after me, all the better. I mean, if you're concerned about nature conservancy, wouldn't you be like, this is great, we don't have trash left over anymore, We don't have people, like, you know, throwing their beer cans into the cave. We don't have, like, Frito bags laying around.
Isn't that all trash?
This should be, yes.
You just gave three examples of trash.
That's exactly what I did.
Okay.
I see the funny point that you're making. We know, of course, the reason that they would want people to go out, right?
Yeah, because they collect the money from people visiting the parks, and they really want money.
And because they want to conserve it so that people can enjoy it, not conserve it so that no one will enjoy it.
Yeah, but people are enjoying it. They should. I don't want people around. When I go camping, I don't want somebody blasting, like, cowboy country music or whatever. Because
you love Kid Rock.
That just makes it so much better, though.
Because he's pissed off because some other guy down the way around the other tree is blasting, like, mariachi music. And I don't want to have, like, no, it's no good. Less people is better.
That's for you, sir.
That's right.
You are defined as a hermit.
No. Just when I'm outdoors.
Okay. One more segment, folks. We'll be right back.
Welcome back, everybody. It's Chatterbox Video Game Radio. My name's Ara.
I'm Alon.
And my name is Rich.
So before we move on, as always, I'm going to remind everybody about uat.edu, the website, if you want to learn about the University of Advanced Technology, where you can learn about becoming a game designer or other software developer. Some people I know from there have gone on to be game testers.
Maybe even learn about artificial life programming.
Maybe.
You heard that in the commercial, didn't you?
One of the most highly sought after careers in technology.
Actually, that is a really interesting field.
Probably. AI is important. A lot of games have crappy AI.
No, not AI. Artificial life.
Yeah, okay. Artificial life
Completely
intelligence.
Different.
ALI.
Ali?
Okay. Okay, anyways.
So we had more to talk about in the field of gaming, right?
Well, I mean, you know, I've got my stuff here, but I kind of feel like I'm, you know, hogging the show here. You know, I want to give you guys...
What, you don't think that I've said enough?
No, I don't think you've said nearly enough.
All right, well, I can talk more about the old Rich playing games on easy thing, but...
I can talk about Nintendo.
Yeah, really wanted to talk about that.
Let's hear about Nintendo.
You want to hear about Nintendo?
I would love to hear about Nintendo.
Rich is upset about something that everybody else already knew about.
Okay, everybody knows about this except for the people that like Nintendo products. Because all the Nintendo fanboys are completely oblivious to the fact that Nintendo doesn't care about them.
That's right. Did you hear you guys? He called you fanboys. Disparagingly, I might add.
Nintendo does not care about their consumers at all. And it's completely apparent in everything they do.
Now the impetus for this is that we were talking before the show, right?
Yes.
And you mentioned something like people who like Nintendo products think that Nintendo is a good company and cares about them. And
yeah.
I'm like, what do you mean they care about them? They're in it to make money just like any other company. How are they any different?
Like Nintendo, from a business standpoint, is a really good business because they're making a lot of money right now, which is the entire purpose of having a business. But the consumers seem to think that Nintendo actually cares about them, whether they enjoy the product or not.
Well,
which really isn't
thing.
True. They just want to sell it.
I don't believe you. I want somebody to contact us who thinks that Nintendo cares about them, because I don't believe you.
Well, I know that some people feel
like
that way, too.
It's just like Apple.
But here's the question. Define care. Let's say I'm a company, and I know that customers are getting really upset about, let's say, I have a broken system. Like, they have a bunch of broken systems now because they won't read Super Smash Bros. Brawl in Japan because it's dual-layer disc and too much dust is on the lens, right? So they have a free repair plan. If you send it in with your, like, registration card or whatever, they'll fix it or clean it for free. Now, do they care about the consumer, or do they know that doing that is better for them business-wise?
It's because that's most likely better for them consumer-wise.
I don't know. It could be that it's both. It could be that they care about them,
but
and it's better.
You mentioned Smash Bros. Brawl. This is why they don't care. Because if they cared about their consumer, then they would want to make sure as many people as possible have Smash Bros. Brawl that want to buy it. But they don't.
They would add Star Wars characters to that as well.
They make sure that they create an artificial shortage of Brawl to make people want it more. I mean,
what?
It's,
Nintendo and an artificial shortage?
Yeah. But
wow,
I'm saying
we haven't
this
seen
is exactly
that.
Showing
how
why
like,
they don't care
last year
if their consumer's happy because they want their consumer to want their product more. They don't care if they're happy or not.
They sell drugs.
It just makes me angry because everybody seems to think that
that's a definite sign of withdrawal.
Because when they reported, holy cow, they sold 500,000 copies of Brawl and they're completely sold out. That's amazing. And it's like they sold 3 million copies of Halo 3 in a week in North America, and they sold like 1.5 million of those on the first day.
Have any of us actually been to Japan?
No, I have not.
Do Japanese consumers even do pre-ordering? I don't think that's a thing in Japan.
I don't know.
I think they do it at 7-Eleven
or something.
You
can't really gauge true market interest unless you have the pre-order system that essentially puts the money down ahead of time, which is why we do it here in America. And so you might just say that they're being especially averse to risk, which Nintendo, we all know.
No, when they have 6 million Wii owners in Japan, they know they can easily sell way more than 500,000 copies.
1 in 12, dude?
Yeah, easily. That's only like a 10% attach rate.
As
or
a gamer,
less.
I know what you're saying, but at the same time, a business needs to be.
In the first week of Halo 3 sales, there was an over 20% attach rate for that game for 360 owners.
But businesses don't like risk at all.
It's not risk. It's Smash Bros. Brawl. It's the game people have been waiting to play since they announced the Wii. It's the one game minus Mario Sunshine, not Sunshine, Galaxy, that people actually want
to
play.
Dude, you should be a marketer.
It's Nintendo's game.
It's not risk. It's Smash Bros. Brawl.
It's not. They know they're going to sell 5 million copies of, not 5, 2 million copies of Brawl easily.
Nintendo is always about shortage. But I think it's part aversion to risk, and also to drive hype. Definitely,
it's just to make people want it more.
Yeah, but also think of it this way, right? I mean, you know, we don't know what production capacities they really have, but
if you're telling me they can only create 500,000 copies of a disc,
let's assume that they can make as many as they want, right?
Yeah.
Why do they? If they know that 2 million or 5 million or however many people are going to buy their game, why should they even be in any rush to make all those? Why don't they just make it leisurely as they are doing?
Because when you have a big title release, you want to make sure as many people get that game
and what? Like
as
if,
possible.
If you want it and you don't get it in the first 2 weeks, are you going to be like, oh, I don't want it anymore. I'm not getting it now.
It depends on the game, to be honest.
Yeah. Would you feel like slighted? And, like, would you, out of spite, decide not to buy the game anymore if you can't find it?
I think it's just more likely to get pirated this way.
Yeah, it probably is. It probably increases having things pirated if you
can't get a
copy of a game. Or, I mean, if you can't get a copy of a game.
People who pirate games never intend on getting their new copy anyway.
Most of the time. But I'm saying, like, if you can't get a copy of a game or you can't get a Wii, at some point they're going to give up. At some point, they're just going to say, okay, I'll just wait 6 months until it's readily available.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and then they'll buy it. So, and then they'll make their profit that they would have made originally.
Or except they could have had their consumer spreading, playing the game for 6 months and be happy for
well,
6 months.
It also think about means it this that way. They don't lower the price that fast, which means they can say, no, we don't lower prices on our games for at least 6 months or a year. They're known for having a long shelf life with their prices.
Think about it this way, right? I mean, if you can kind of like, if you can spread out your profit over time, that's a lot better business-wise than if you just say, oh, you know what? I'm going to make a killing right now, and then like all this money I made now, I'm going to have like 6 more months of not having made that money.
Yeah, man. Last week we were talking about all the different factors that go into business decisions that Nintendo might make, and it's another thing. They have to appeal to their stockholders to keep the profit coming in quarter after quarter instead of making it go sky high this quarter and then way down next quarter. They need to keep up the hype in general. They need to make sure that the pricing of their games stays true for a long period of time. That way they can keep the prices of all the other games steady for a long time and retailers won't complain. Well, you dropped the price on this game, right? There's a million factors that go into these business decisions, and Nintendo just does it really well. That's what it comes down to. People still have a hard time getting a Wii in America, and it's been 2 years.
On purpose.
Yeah, actually, that pisses me off.
Okay, not 2 years, like a year and a half.
Right, but that has been really protracted. I mean, you know, I heard about like, oh, you can't get Legend of Zelda right away kind of thing 15 years ago or whatever. But this with the Wii, with like, is it still hard to find? I mean, what is going on here?
Yes,
I had someone email me last month because her husband's birthday is this month, saying, hey, I want to get my husband a Wii. What's the best way to do it?
Wow.
And I was like, Craigslist?
I mean, if you hadn't hooked me up with that used one, I probably would have never bought it.
Yeah, well, that's because you don't like leaving your house, though.
No. Sometimes I have to leave my house.
Exactly, you would have never bought it.
That's what I'm saying. That's an exception, because it's like that's like unusually protracted amount of time.
Oh, that's an exception.
Absolutely. That's right.
Okay.
Because it's especially long.
Because when it's greater than 6 months...
Yes. Yes. Okay. Exactly.
It's a fine line, sir. Fine,
it's actually a rather thick line.
All right, everyone. Thank you very much for listening.
This is Lisa Desjardins. You're listening to CNN Radio.
And we'll be back next week.
CNN will play over us anyway. All right, we'll be back, everybody.
Been listening to Chatterbox Video Game Radio. Tune in next week for more tips and info and the latest and greatest in video gaming. And remember, all your base are belong to us.